Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Lamborghini Super Trofeo.
On IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Now halfway through the North American season of Lamborghini Super Trofeo action, looking at the beautiful countryside around Watkins Glen International Raceway, the Finger Lakes area. I say halfway through the North American version, a six race weekend season, but five of those are in the United States. Watkins Glen, so much history here up in the Finger Lakes area. 3.4 miles of history, 11 turns, some great passing areas. And the officials also are going to be watching in turn one, the heel of the boot, and turn 10 for drivers exceeding track limits. Seven drivers had laps taken away in the first qualifying session for doing just that, using too much road at the exit. Good passing zones, the inner loop, turn eight, and turn one. You can do it some other places, but it's a daunting racetrack. And like I said, so much history surrounds this racetrack. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Brian Till, along with Jeremy Shaw. Jeremy, you know this track well. You've been watching sports car racing, open wheel racing here for years, and it just doesn't really get any better than this when it comes to a racing venue.
Fabulous facility, just challenging it to the extreme. The place was repaved a few years ago, and it got even more speed. The final couple of corners, turns 10 and turn 11, they are super fast these days. And you'd say several great overtaking opportunities as well. This is a place that everybody loves to go racing.
Up through the climbing S's the field goes, and it is a good one. And we've seen some drivers who have been on the cusp of, let's say, greatness or certainly improvement throughout the season and do just that. Jeremy, when I look at the grid, a couple of surprises up front. Take us through back to front.
Yeah, we've got 25 cars and for today's fifth round of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. Everybody running the same car, the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo. We've got eight pro cars, four pro AMs, seven AMs and six LB Cups. Starting at the back in 25th position, car number 74 is Tom Kerr. Row 12 with the grid, Scott Wellham in car number 82, alongside Matt Dickin in car number 36. Row 11, Mike Minella in car number 4, alongside him Terry Olsen in car number 47. 20th position on the grid, car number 21, that's Justin Price in car number 21. He is the best qualified of the LB Cup contenders for Dream Racing Motorsport. Alongside him on the grid, last year's LB Cup champion is Randy Solari in car number 03. Row 9 is Claude Signoretti in car number 51 and Ashton Harrison in car number 25. Row 8, Alan Metney in car number 99 and Trevor Andrusco in car number 38. Row 7 is Sandro Espinosa in car number 7 and the former F1 driver Nelson Piquet in car number 33. Still getting used to these cars. Max Wearing, a young Dutchman, will start in car number 61 in the 12th position alongside a youngster Luke Berkeley in car number 23. Sergio Jimenez, another Brazilian in car number 44 alongside Victor Gomez in car number 29. That's on row 5. One row ahead of them is Dario Capitanio in car number 22 alongside Carl Marcelli in car number 1. Row 3 is the grid. On the outside is Stephen Argacani in car number 6. Alongside him, the best qualified of the Pro-Am contenders, the championship leader, his second straight pole position in Pro-Am in car number 46 for Precision Performance Motorsports in Brian Ortiz from Puerto Rico. Row 2 is the grid. Stephen McAleer in car number 16 alongside Giorgiano Torino in car number 88. He is the best of the Am contenders, a brilliant running qualifying for a Torino Racing entry. Third position, car number 88. On the front row, a former two-time series champion, Richard Antonucci, in car number 27 for Dream Racing Motorsport. But on the pole position for the first time in his career in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo, 25-year-old from Texas for Kelly Moss Roden Racing, car number 48, the pole sitter is Alec Udell.
And what a great job by Alec Udell. We talked about showing signs of greatness. He had the fastest race laps in both races at COTA, but you talked about Nelson Piquet Jr. coming to grips with these cars. Tires completely different, the anti-lock braking system, the traction control, all those combined, they've got to be learned. Right now, what Alec Udell needs to do is keep Richard Antonucci in that purple 27 Bitbull Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo behind him. Antonucci, known for being so aggressive, especially at the start. He knows these cars so well. Udell brings them onto the front straightaway, side by side, waiting for the green. Time to go racing at Watkins Glen. The flag is about to fly. And there we go. Alec Udell with a good jump. Antonucci side by side. But look at that red, white, and green Lamborghini looking to the inside. Udell holds Antonucci to the outside, and that says something. But Antonucci, we talk about how forceful he is, how aggressive. He's willing to run side by side through the S's, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, so as Richard Antonucci ran the outside there, it truly takes the lead going up the hill through the S's. Wow, that is a brave pass there for Richard Antonucci. That's all about experience. He's won 17 of these races in the past. He wants number 18, doesn't he? Quite clearly, that was a ballsy move by Richard Antonucci.
Stephen McAleer with a good move as well, picks up a position there at the start. Gianna Torino in the 88. Looked like he was going to look up the inside, and McAleer in that light blue and white number 16 Bud Light entry able to pick up the position there. McAleer wants victory lane, ran well at COTA, and then had a great run going in the second race at VIR, charging down, closing on the leader Antonucci when a cut tire late put him back. And so McAleer wants to make amends for that. Antonucci, so powerful, so aggressive, and so knows these cars so well, really able to use that to his advantage on lap one.
Yeah, I think that's what it really boiled down to there, is the fact that, you know, he had that experience. He knows what it's like on the outside line there. The track limits are being observed here. I think he was just about able to keep it sort of within bounds there, trying to make that outside pass at turn one, and it's Richard Antonucci who leads.
Now you're talking like a race car driver, Jeremy. Sort of within bounds, battles a little bit farther back. You look at the 7 and the 23.
Angle. Yeah. It was tough to see from the angle, wasn't it? But I'm sure the officials certainly will be looking at it. They always review the starts and the first corner as well. But it is Richard Antonucci who leads from Alec Udell at the end of lap one in this 50-minute race.
Good battles throughout. That's what makes the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Series, and really any of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series, so exciting. You touched on it, Jeremy, with the grid. Exact same car throughout the field. The pro driver drives the exact same Lamborghini Super Huracan Evo that the AM driver does, or the LB Cup driver does. It's the same horsepower, the same weight, everything.
Yeah, and it was super close in qualifying. The top dozen cars covered by about eight-tenths of a second, I think it was. It was incredibly close. And I think we can expect some really fine racing. We've got two races to look forward to, of course, this weekend. Making the move to the inside. That is Kyle Marcelli trying to sneak past the AM leader, Gianni Torino, as he head down toward the toe of the boot.
You and I were talking earlier about Gianni Torino. And, I mean, he's a very fast young race car driver. He just needs some luck on his side. He has two wins in the class so far, but he's very, very young. And I think really the racecraft is what's going to develop with him. It's not the speed. The speed is there. He's been blazingly quick. In fact, he was third on the grid as an AM on the pole in the AM class, but third on the grid. And I think what he will learn running these cars, and you talk to his dad, he says the same thing. He's here for the experience, the racing experience. That's what he needs to gain. This is a great place to get it.
Well, it really is. And, you know, this is, as we talked about at the top of the show, this is a classic racetrack in North America. It's super fast. It's all about commitment here. You've got to be committed to driving these cars. You've got to know, got a high level of confidence in both your ability and the car's ability.
See the 16 of McAleer up on the track out curbing there in one. That's fine as long as you don't go beyond it. I was talking to the race director just the other day, and I said, all right, tell me what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. And he said, well, you know, you've got to keep two tires on the curb. I said, how about one? He said, well, now you're talking like a race car driver. You know, he said, I'll tell you what, as long as it's the front two, how's that? And I said, well, it's going to be hard to do. Sliding sideways big time. And he just laughed and he just said, no, you know, what we want throughout all the IMSA series here this weekend is two tires on the curb. You can have two tires off the backside. But if you run out there and you do so seemingly with intent, and certainly if you gain position or you gain an advantage, they're going to call you on it. As I said, in qualifying, they called seven drivers on it and took lap times away.
Yeah, and as long as they apply those rules consistently, that's all the drivers ask for. And there certainly have been so far this weekend, as you said earlier, a lot of penalties already during practice and qualifying. Then it's laps taken away. Those laps don't count in the race. If you run off wide at one of these corners and gain an advantage, you'll at best have to give any advantage back again, and at worst, you'll have a drive-through penalty, which would be very, very costly.
Well, and that was perfect timing, Jeremy. You said the word drive-through penalty. That's exactly what Max Wearing is being handed for a jump start. Take a look back, looking for the black and gold. And there you see IMSA wants the columns in line across the start-finish line. Wearing out of line and already improving on the car in front of him when he crossed the start-finish line. And hence the jump start. Wearing will serve the drive-through penalty. My heart kind of goes out to him. Great kid and very talented race car driver. Won the first Lamborghini Super Trofeo race in the European Series. Came over here, but all the racetracks are brand new. Rules slightly different, I'm sure, the way the officials see them. He's got to learn the racetrack. He has to learn the competitors. He has to travel every weekend. And now bitten on that jump start. Serves the drive-through penalty. Had a good run going, you'll remember, Jeremy, and then a crash on lap one of race two at COTA did some significant damage to the car. He's looking for a trouble-free weekend.
Yeah, that would be exactly what he needs at this stage after a very interesting, let's say, beginning to the season. The first four, though, pulling away just a little bit here. Got the three pro cars. Richard Antonucci leads from Alec Udell and Stephen McAleer. Yeah, that's all to be expected. But Brian Ortiz there, hanging on there in the fourth position. Not only hanging on, it was he who set the fastest lap of the race last time around in car number 46. The Precision Performance Motorsports car number 46. He's really doing a nice job hanging on to these three leaders and edging well clear Victor Gomez, also coincidentally from Puerto Rico, who is second in the Pro-Am class, back in eighth position overall in car number 29.
Be interesting to see if the officials say anything and relay a message down to Stephen McAleer to keep it on the island a little wide there at the exit of the heel of the boot. I don't think he really gained much, but that's not what they want to see. Ortiz not in this fight. He's willing to run right there, and I would think, Jeremy, he's going to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to run in the draft of these guys and see if I can't continue to pull out from the cars behind me, because once again, he is not in this fight with the three cars in front. He is in the different class, pro cars running 1, 2, 3 right now.
They are, and what a super job Ortiz is doing. He was quicker again on that lap, actually the fastest lap of anybody that time around was Carl Marcelli, who's next on the road in fifth position in the Wayne Taylor Racing entry, car number one for the Paramus dealerships, and the black and the blue car. He was the fastest car on track that time around, and he was the latest driver to get past Gianno Torino, who's still running very nicely in the sixth position in the AM leading, car number 88, that red, white and green car carrying the Italian colours, cool looking car.
So Richard Antonucci in a familiar spot out in front. And when you think about tire wear, as Gianno Torino works his way around in that very beautiful green, white, and red 88 that you spoke of, you think about the difference in experience there. And one of the things this racetrack can do, Jeremy, is really wear on tires. High speed, high compression in several places around the racetrack. And I think that's really the knowledge base that a Richard Antonucci has. He knows this car, he knows this tire. Gianno Torino is young, knows how to make the car go fast, but really the lessons to be learned are the lessons that Richard Antonucci has already learned. And I think that's why we see him consistently out in front. He knows how to go fast, but he also knows how to take care of the equipment. He knows how to take care of the Pirelli tire.
So ignorance is bliss is what you're saying there, right? As we look a little bit further back down the order, Justin Price, who leads in the LB Cup category for Dream Racing Motorsport. He's running in the 18th position overall. He's pulled out 3 or 4 seconds now over Mike Minella, who is battling with Terry Olsen for second place. Mike Minella has moved past Terry Olsen into second position, but they're both chasing for the LB Cup category victory at this early stage in the race. Justin Price in car number 21.
Well, Justin Price experience in this class, he ran it in 2018, finished third in the LB Cup category, and good to see him. He wasn't entered in the first two rounds at COTA, but good to see him with a good performance in the first round at VIR with a sixth place finish, didn't finish the second race, and ran strong here. He led LB Cup in both practice sessions and qualified on the pole. So talk about experience again. Justin Price has it. And every driver you talk to, even the very experienced drivers, the Nelson Piquets of the world, Alec Udell, they talk about the learning curve when you step in to one of these Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evos, that it is a big, steep learning curve, especially if you've come from cars that don't have anti-lock braking systems. You've got to learn how to use that to your advantage. And I know it may sound easy, just stomp on the brakes, but it's a lot more difficult than it may seem.
It is, isn't it? This, in some ways, if you look used to the old school like you and I, it's hard to get used to the kind of the pulsing feel of that brake pedal when you jump on the anti-lock brakes and they work their magic. But there's all sorts of battling all the way up and down this field. Some tremendous racing, particularly in the battle for second place in the AM category. It's Alan Metney who leads it at the moment, but he's got Trevor Andrusko, Ashton Harrison, and Luke Berkeley in a four-car train. And this is another train a little bit further back down the order as well. Some great racing.
Second, third, and fourth, as you said, in the AM category. And for Alan Metney, he's got to be tired. He just ran another 50-minute race, jumped out of that car, ran over and jumped into this one. And I wonder how difficult it is to transition from one to the other. We talk about anti-lock braking systems. He just stepped out of a Porsche. Now he's in a Lamborghini. They both have it. And while the systems technically should work the same, in drivers that I've spoken to, whether that be in WeatherTech competition, Michelin Pilot, here in Lamborghini, the ABS systems and all these different manufacturers have nuances to them that you have to learn. And stepping directly out of one car and into the other has to be a challenge, to say the least. Speaking of a challenge, Ashton Harrison there in the 25, really putting pressure on Claude Cinaretti in the 51. That's a different class. But Harrison wants by. She wants to move forward. She wants to catch Luke Berkeley in the 23. The black, white, and red Lamborghini just up in front. But right now, Cinaretti is in the way in the 51. Through the toe of the boot.
Yeah, super battle. This is for the 12th position overall here. They're just having a tremendous scrap amongst themselves. As you say, Cinaretti in the Pro-Am class, he'll be handing over to potentially the fastest man in the field. That's Loris Spinelli. He qualified on pole position for the second race. And just to recap, there's some of the cars in a race are running single drivers. Others are running two drivers. Everybody, however, has to make a pit stop somewhere between the 20 minutes into the race and 20 minutes before the end of the race. So between 20 and 30 minutes into this 50-minute race, everybody would have to make a mandatory pit stop. If you're handing over this car to somebody else, there's a minimum pit stop time is what, 93 seconds, is it? Somewhere.
90 and 93, and that's right.
Yeah, and if you're a single driver, your pit stop has to be 3 seconds longer than if you are handing over the car to somebody else. The reason for that is the driver who's driving solo all the way through the race, he knows how the car is handling, as we see Max Gwiring working his way through the some cars farther back down the pack after serving that penalty. But the drivers who drive in a race solo, they know through the first half of the race how the car is, how the track conditions are, how the car is handling. But for the second drivers who are hopping in halfway through the race, they've got to learn all those factors. And it's an equivalency, if you like, of 3 seconds added to the drivers that are doing this race solo. So that's going to make things very, very interesting when we get down to making these pit stops halfway through this race.
Terry Olsen in the 47 under pressure from the number 7 That's a different class. And it looks like a left rear cut down tire on the 51. And that's the side that gets really, really loaded around this racetrack. We were talking about taking care of the tires. Center ready. A problem. And that's a long way to go. And he's got to make sure that he slows down a little bit. Otherwise, Jeremy, that tire will come apart and essentially turn into a saw blade. You can do a lot of damage, not only to the bodywork, you can tear up suspension pieces as well. He's on his own coming into the corner, into the toe of the boot, under heavy braking, gets in there, and it looked like the tire may have been down coming out of what we would call the laces of the boot, the downhill left-hander. To me, as the car was coming towards us, it looked to be sitting down on the left rear just a little bit, but now a long way back for Cinerelli to get to the pits and have that tire changed.
Yeah, that's a scary point of the racetrack for anything to happen. I had a brake failure going into that corner once many years ago. Oops,
That is Kyle Marcelli. That's in the climbing S's. That is an area of the racetrack flat out. Come through turn one, pick up the gears, up through the gearbox, and through the climbing S's. But Kyle Marcelli has had a huge impact there just as the S's go back to the left. Significant damage to the front end of the number one. Is Marcelli in the cockpit? Good to see him moving in the car in a way that I believe he's talking on the radio. You can see his left hand up on the wheel. Looked like he was reaching for the radio button and communicating with his crew. So that is excellent to see, but look at the debris field back behind him. It looks to me, Jeremy, that he actually made contact with the wall back where the red safety vehicle is.
Yeah, no idea what happened there. We didn't see it. He was running there in the fifth position. He was chasing after Brian Ortiz, the Pro-Am leader in that car number one, the Canadian driver, Kyle Marcelli, and the safety team with him now. But yeah, that's a, you know, any sort of accident through there, you're well over 100 miles an hour, accelerating up through the S's there. And boy, that's a heavy impact for Kyle Marcelli. A lot of damage to that Prestige Performance car.
Walking gingerly there. And you can imagine that he would be. That was a significant impact. The belts play on you, hold you around the pelvis. And that can be painful on an impact because they grab and keep you where you need to be, which is in the seat. Obviously, your feet moving around in the cockpit can make contact with the pedals. But the good news is, as gingerly as Kyle was walking when he got out of the car, he got out on his own and is walking to the safety car on his own, to the medical vehicle, that AMR rapid response vehicle, as the rest of the field streams through.
Yeah, and you know, if the car, you know, spins around you, you know, the natural instinct is to jump on the brakes, and if you then hit the wall with any degree of force, that force is kind of goes through the car and into the brake pedal and then into your foot and lower leg. But he seemed to be pretty much going. Yeah, he was limping, but I'm sure there'd be, you know, it'd be as much shock, I think, as anything else there for Kyle Marcelli. Hopefully, he's going to be okay. Certainly looked to be in reasonably good shape as he got into that safety vehicle. But that's a scary place for any sort of an accident.
I know that in anything that I ever ran here, it was flat up through there, like I said. So it's very, very quick. But if you're running with other cars, there's really no margin for error. You know, we were somewhat amazed that Richard Antonucci's move there at the start, willing to go side by side. And I think what you saw in Alec Udell was Alec just said, okay, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm going to let you have it because I don't want any part of this. And so I don't know, and I don't believe that we have a look actually at the impact itself, but I don't know if he was around other cars. He had been, if you think about it, he had been. So I don't know if he got in there with another vehicle or not, but that is significant damage to the front. But any impact up there is going to be heavy. Impressed with the construction of that Lamborghini Huracan Evo.
Very, very much so. Yeah, it's been a slightly disappointing start to the season for Carl Marcelli. He was due to share that car with Danny Formal from Costa Rica. They've had a couple of third place finishes, however, in the first four races of the year, and a fourth and a fifth. So they're currently lying fourth in the points table, only 20 odd points behind the points leader Richard Antonucci. But certainly this is going to be costly for them in terms of the championship positions. And for Carl Marcelli, yeah, he's a champion driver in all sorts of different series. He won the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series in the an Aston Martin, a hugely experienced driver, and for him to hit the wall like that is a crushing blow for his season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real soft-spoken guy, and you talked about the performances of it. Fourth in the championship, 11 points back, and two podium finishes, the second round at COTA, the first round at VIR. The other finishes were all in the top five, and Kyle there walking back from the medical vehicle looks like he wants to go look at the car.
Yeah, probably just trying to assess the damage. So he'll be back to the pit lane probably before the team is, and he'll probably want to report on how the car looks, perhaps. But no, he's going to be escorted away here, and
I thought make he was his way to the medical to the car, center. But I think they're escorting him. You can see that he's talking to the medical crew, which is good. See the disappointment on his face. You can tell that he certainly is uncomfortable, but as we said, the good thing is walking on his own and having what appears to be meaningful conversations with the safety crew, and that's what's important. I always tell young drivers, and I'll include Kyle in that because he's a lot younger than I am, that race cars can be fixed. And that's what's important. So always disappointing. So this is going to be some extensive work. He may have moved the guardrail a little bit, and coming into the pit window, for sure, we're in the pit window, but they will not open the pits if there is a full course caution on the racetrack. And this came out just before the pit stops were about to be completed. So that pit window is not open yet. And this is going to be interesting because it's going to leave the first drivers in these cars that are utilizing the two-driver format. It's going to leave them in that car for an extended period of time because it's going to take them a while to get this track sorted out and ready to go back to green. Once they do, cars will have to restart, go across the start-finish line, and take the green flag on the racetrack before they can come around to the pit lane unless the officials seek some other remedy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The pit window will be altered as a result of this full course caution. As you say, the pits are closed during the full course caution period. And as you say, also, this is going to be a lengthy cleanup. So this is going to really throw a spanner in the works, as we say in the UK, a wrench in the works, because this is going to be quite a few minutes before we can get back to green flag racing. And then the pit stops will begin after that. And we're right now, we are, 27 minutes remaining in this race. So just about halfway through this 50-minute contest.
Yeah, disappointing to see Kyle Marcelli with his problems. Not disappointing to look around this racetrack and see the fans who have turned out for such a historic event. The 6 hour always draws fans. But this year we get to come back to the racetrack, back again. What's that say? I think it's 48 in reference to Jimmy Johnson there on that gentleman's back. Is that tape, Jeremy? And who's going to pull that off at the end of the race weekend? I think it is tape. And the tan lines are going to be impressive. That's all I have to say about that. The tan lines will indeed be impressive. Fans up in the grandstands. And, you know, it's great to see cars on the racetrack like we were able to do last year, and thanks to all the officials and the series organizers who got that done. But now to actually be able to go to the racetrack with your family, like these families sitting there, fathers and sons, watching the race cars go around, and see this gentleman is not pleased with the full course yellow either. He's yawning a bit, but he and his buddies will get back to Lamborghini action when we go back to green. But back to the racetrack, Jeremy, and I think that's huge. And you talk to the race car drivers, and they sense it. They sense it in the car. You know, everybody that we've spoken with, whether it was an IndyCar driver, a NASCAR driver, a sports car driver, driving in an empty stadium is a completely different feel.
Well, it is, and it's just great to have fans back. It's been such a long time, and the sun's kind of poking out now. It was pretty much overcast, I think, when we took the green flag here, but there seems to be some shadows out on the racetrack now, and even though we haven't got green flag racing, we've certainly got good weather here in the Finger Lakes region, and that's always good to see because we've had some very wet encounters here over the years for the Salem 6 hours of the Glen race weekend. But what a great race weekend this is, and it is superb to see fans back at the racetrack after such a long period of time.
I remember coming to Watkins Glen for the first time as a much younger and much faster race car driver, and I was working for a driving school, and I was like, oh, I'm going to New York. It was middle of summertime. It was July or August. I'm like, oh, I'm going to New York. I better take a jacket because I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I was way down south, and New York was way up north. And I came up here, and I was stationed at a corner down at the toe of the boot, and I've never been so hot in my life. I didn't know it could get that hot that far north. But, yeah, you talk about weather conditions. Wait around a few minutes, and they can change here at Watkins Glen. We have seen it all. In fact, Jeremy, I was part of history here. I was part of the longest Toyota Atlantic race in history. It started in the morning, and fog set in on our very first lap, and by the time we got to the toe of the boot, it was red flagged, and we had to wait until after the IMSA race in the afternoon to restart the race, and the clock ran the entire time. I think it was like a 10-hour Atlantic race. We were only on the racetrack for 45 minutes, but the race itself was incredibly long. Started at 9 o'clock in the morning and probably finished at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You probably remember that race, knowing the history buff that you are. It was in 1990.
Yeah, not sure I was here in 1990 for the race. Probably was Jaguars. I probably was, wasn't I? I don't remember it specifically. I thought I kind of would. But there's all sorts of memorable occurrences here at this this fabulous racetrack. Not so good memories, of course, today for Carl Marcelli. But yeah, hopefully we can get this track cleaned up here and get back to racing before too long.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge hit, and the car is out of the way, but obviously the officials will not go back to green flag racing until they know that the racetrack itself is safe, and that's specifically that light blue guardrail there that Watkins Glen is known for. This is the good news, though. As I look down on that area of the racetrack just in front of the flagging station where all the oil dry was down, the fluids were spilled on the racetrack, this final safety vehicle has moved away, Jeremy, so that gives me hope that it won't be long before we go back to green. And as we said, we'll go back to green, the cars past the start finish, and then expect pit lane to open. In fact, the lights indeed are off, and we are about to go. Antonucci out in front. The question is, can Alec Udell do anything? What did he learn on the initial start? But what is the racetrack like up through the S's? The officials have done everything they can to clean it off, get that oil dry out of the way, get the fluids removed. But what's the grip going to look like? We're going to find out. Green flag's back out. Antonucci leads the field down towards turn one. And he got a great jump on that restart. He put another car length or two between himself and Alec Udell. Stephen McElroy right there. And this battle coming into turn one, side by side. This is the time to get it done. If you can pick up a position here, that's big, especially with the pit stops coming.
That was a bold move. I think it might have been Sergio Jimenez there trying to make a move on Victor Gomez, was it? Not quite sure. With Nelson Piquet was riding there as well. The two Hansa Motorsports cars, number 44 and a number 33. Nelson Piquet had been riding number 13 the first couple of races of the season. That's Alain Nadal, who's the team principal at Hansa Motorsports, his favourite number. Nelson didn't like it so much, so he changed it to 33 for this weekend. And where does he qualify on the grid? 13th.
Well, and there you have it. Luke Berkley in the 23, running third in the AM category, trying to do battle with the 99 of Alan Metney. We talked about Metney having experienced Max Wiering working his way through in the black and gold 61 after serving that penalty. This full course caution was huge for Wiering because it put him back in the fight, put him back in the field, so to speak. So I believe as I look through timing and scoring, he didn't lose a lap or shouldn't have lost a lap on that drive-through penalty. So for Wiering, that's big. That's big. It brought the field back to him.
Yeah, and also Claude Senioretti, we saw, had that puncture. He rejoined at the back of the field, and he remains on the lead lap as well in car number 51, which is very good news for his co-driver, Loris Spinelli. I'm sure that car will be one of many onto the pit lane this time around.
Cars diving to the right, staying under that white line, which is the pit and blend line. Antonucci did not come, nor did Alec Udell. I believe the 46 may have. There's a look. Stephen McAleer did in the white and blue number 16 that leads the field, that procession down pit lane. And I think some of these drivers just said, hey, well, Antonucci, no, that's the team car. That's the 22. I think Antonucci may have just said, hey, I'm out in front. I'm good on cold tires. Let's see if we can kind of jump everybody, get out there, add a couple of seconds to our lead, then come in and do that 93-second pit stop.
Yeah. So, you know, the drivers who have the quicker driver in for the second part of the race, they want to make that pit stop as early as they possibly can. And that's what we're seeing here now. Stephen Argocani on pit lane in car number six to hand over to Jacob Edson, and number 51 of Claude Senioretti over to Loris Spinelli.
And on the 51, you saw a crew member as the driver change was going on. Look at that left rear bodywork. Give it a tug because of the damage that left rear had created. There's the four undergoing their pit stop and driver change. Michael Minella, Bart Collins, Randy Solari in the 03, the very first pit stall or last, depending on how you look at it, that white and green 03 waiting to go. And the 16 of McAleer and Jerome Mule this time around. He heads out. It'll be interesting. I would expect Antonucci to be in. I don't know what the officials told them as far as how far they could go. I don't know if it's going to be a 10-minute window. A 10-minute window would take it well into the race and not leave a lot of time for the second driver. So I don't know if the window remained 10 minutes or not, Jeremy.
No, it'll be shortened somewhat. I think it'll be sort of 7 or 8 minutes is my guess. I think It's not quite as long as it would have been otherwise. It would have been 20 minutes, but I think it'd be now down to probably 10 minutes or so for the window to be open. Uh-oh.
So that's when they came in
that
to
was
change
number 51,
the left rear,
wasn't it?
And there'll be a penalty for that, I would expect. Wheel spin on the jack is not smiled upon. You can see the crew members having to go to work on some of that bodywork that was rearranged by that Pirelli tire that decided to deflate. And I imagine this racetrack being hard on it and these curbs can be hard on it too. You as a driver, especially in the bus stop, need to take care of the equipment. And also, as close as the competition is, literally, we've seen the splitters and the dive planes on the front of these Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evos do some damage, almost like a knife. Antonucci in. No work being done on the car because they can't refuel. He'll sit and then back out. 93 seconds is what the clock needs to say from the time he crosses the line at pit in until he goes through the beacon at pit out. Wait and see if there were any short pit stops, and if there are, if they're beyond a certain tolerance, it is a drive-through and a stop plus the time that you were short. If it's a minimal amount, they'll just put a time penalty at the end of the race and add that to your total race time. Sometimes it moves you back in position, sometimes it does not, but I know what does move you back in position, and that is the drive-through with that additional time. Alec Udell now in. What a great job. We talk about learning, and Udell, engineering major, from got his degree from Clemson, just graduated recently. Really, really smart guy, and I think a very studious approach to this series, to this car, and with a great team, Kelly Moss, Road and Race, who he works for and does some coaching for in some of their other series. It's a great combination, that team, this driver, as they make their foray into Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. And I just have to chuckle every time I see this car. I love the logo on the side of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Reminds me of me.
Max Wearing, however, the car that had the drive-through penalty early on, he's stayed out. He's not yet made his first pit stop, therefore leads the race overall now for MCR Racing at car number 61. Cool livery on that car, so gold, black, and red and white. It looks really sharp, doesn't it? As he heads around the boot and up the hill one more time. This is his 16th lap. That was his, I think, it wasn't his best lap of the race, but he's stayed out there and taken advantage of this pit stop, hoping to lead a lap in car number 61.
And as we said earlier for Wearing, he has to learn all of these racetracks. I mean, you can use a simulator to figure out where the racetrack goes, but when you come to a racetrack like Watkins Glen with the compressions and the undulations and the camber changes, nothing will on a simulator will help you learn it like going around the racetrack. So you really just have to come and get an idea in person before you can really try to find speed, and then you've got to race it, and racing it oftentimes is different than merely driving on it. As the 25 of Ashton Harrison heads back out, her Harrison contracting with Wayne Taylor Racing Lamborghini Paramus entry, and gives you an idea of the speed that you leave pit lane and then you join that traffic right there at the climbing S's, as Ashton Harrison back on track. Wearing in 93 seconds, just like Richard Antonucci has to do, so they'll open the door, get him a little bit of fresh air, and as things cycle through with the pit stops, we'll wait and see how it unfolds. Be interesting to see where Richard Antonucci comes out in relation to Alec Udell. He stayed out, elected to stay out, get those laps in. And again, I think you cannot underestimate or understate the experience that Richard Antonucci has. You and I talked about it, Jeremy. He was one of the drivers who helped design or define the handling characteristics of this car by being the test driver and helping Lamborghini develop this car into the race car that it is. And when you are one of the guys that helps develop it, well, then you know all the ins and outs and the nuances. I was interested to see that Dream Racing, the team that Richard Antonucci drives for, at one point in time, I think in both practice sessions, they had cars at the top of the field, at the top of the timesheets, throughout three different classes. And it just gives you an idea how experience pays off, because Antonucci's experience can then filter down through the other cars to the other drivers, not only the data, but his coaching advice too.
Well, that's very true. And of course, there is also a team championship and a dealership championship as well within the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series. It's Change Racing that leads the team championship coming to this weekend. They've got a 12-point edge over Precision Performance Motorsports and Dream Racing Motorsports, for whom Antonucci drives. So they're just 2 points back in the third position. In a dealer championship, it's Palm Beach, which is represented by both Precision Performance Motorsports and by Torino Racing. They lead on 135 points to the 125 of the Charlotte dealership, which is run primarily by Change Racing and also by MCR Racing as well, which is Max Wearing, the team that Max Wearing drives for.
Seven of TR3 Racing, Lamborghini Miami, was just in. Mark Issa taking over for Sandro Espinosa in that beautiful black and gold number seven. And as things are cycling through, I think Antonucci is cycling to the front. The 16 has moved up, I believe, to second as timing and scoring rolls through. Indeed, it has. But Jacob Edson now being shown in fourth. Alec Udell all the way back to fourth after running well and running second in the early going before the pit stop. So, again, where you take that stop, whether you decide that you're going to come in on the very first opportunity or you're going to stay out and see if you can make some time, I think experience has a lot to do with it, not just driver-wise, but team-wise as well. Obviously, Kelly Moss has a tremendous amount of experience through all types of sports car racing, but relatively new to Lamborghini Super Trofeo action. Dream Racing certainly has a lot of experience here, and their gamble or their decision to stay out may have paid big dividends.
Yeah, they've managed to close the gap. But the of course, the number 16 car for Dremel taken over from Stephen McAleer. Their pit stop was allowed to be 3 seconds faster than Richard Antonucci, who stays aboard that car. That explains why Dremel is right on the tail now of Richard Antonucci. Jacob Edson, though, he's closing in just a little bit. It was he was the fastest car on the track last time around, in third position, the car number six for Agara Motorsports US Racetronics team. He's running in the third position right now in car number six, chasing after these leaders, Richard Antonucci and Jeroen Mull.
See the six of Jacob Edson. Great young driver pairing there, he and Stephen Agacani. And so impressive last year, Edson, a former champion in Lamborghini Super Trofeo. And Stephen Agacani, he wants it bad. You know, and they have done everything they can. I think, just as they upped their game, the competition in the series got upped as well. And they've got to be thinking, man, we're getting better and better. We're faster than we ever were. We're performing better as a team, better as a driver pairing than we ever have. But all of a sudden, they dumped a whole bunch of talent in here, a whole bunch more talent, I should say. And it's not getting any easier, that's for certain.
It's really tight at the front, and the last couple of laps, Richard Antonucci has turned his best laps of the race almost identical they were as well. 1 minute 47.31 was his best lap, but last time around, this last lap, 147.32, just a hundredth of a second slower. So great consistency there from Antonucci, but he's not pulling away from Jeroen Mull, making his return to the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. He did a few races several years ago, and getting an opportunity here to race at Watkins Glen, and he's giving Richard Antonucci all that he can handle. And back in third position, only about a second and a half back, is Jacob Edson in that third place car.
We thought we might see Madison Snow behind the wheel of the 16 for the season. That has changed, and in fact, Stephen McAleer drove solo at VIR, and now he's got Mill with him here this weekend. But McAleer excited about his opportunity here. I talked about talent being thrown into the series. It certainly is. It's here, and it is deep, as the 61 still trying to move forward. Max Wiering with that problem earlier after the jump start, trying to work his way through, but behind him, side-by-side drag race down to the heel of the boot. Luke Berkeley on the inside in the 23, trying to get past the black 99, Alan Metney. That is the battle for second in the AM category. And Metney, I mean, talk about experience and youth. It's right here. It's right here in this battle for second in AM. Metney with a lot of experience, not only in this type of car, but in racing. Luke Berkeley, young guy, certainly hungry, certainly thirsty, and obviously does a good job behind the wheel. We talked about Metney already racing here in one round today, finished second there, and trying to put that experience to play, but also trying to put the idea of what that previous car handled like as he climbs on board this Lamborghini Huracan. And man, what a great battle that was. Berkeley, just 17 years old. He won the last round VIR. So certainly he has the speed. And I think the AM Championship is going to be one to watch all season long, because the racing we've seen, it has been spectacular.
Yeah, you're right. Metney came into this weekend with a three-point edge over Gianni Torino, and 2 points behind them, Ashton Harrison, and Luke Berkeley, only 3 points behind her as well. So it is super tight there. It's Gianni Torino who leads the AM class right now. But, there's 6.5 minutes in this race remaining. And there's, of course, another race tomorrow as well.
Laura Spinelli behind the wheel.
Working his way back, yeah.
Talk about somebody who knows how to make a Lamborghini go fast. Spinelli has just been magic behind the wheel of that Torino Racing number 51 all season long. When we first saw him, it was almost jaw-dropping, the speed that he carried. Obviously a very experienced race car driver. And man, he has been impressive. That entire Torino team, and talking to them, I think the approach is very solid. It's very unique. They said, we don't get lost in what everybody else is doing. We dot our I's, cross our T's, prep the car in a logical way. We don't try to find the latest tweak of the week, the latest black magic to rub on it. We do what is technically sound and feasible and straightforward. And it has certainly worked in the hands of Laura Spinelli and Claude Cinaretti, with a lot less experience than Spinelli, has been very quick in the 51 as well.
He has. He is super fast. And in fact, he qualified on pole position for tomorrow's race, and up in now into the 15th position overall. He's just set the fastest lap of the race overall, a 146.65 for Loris Spinelli, the quickest lap. Actually, Richard Antonucci had been the fastest lap of the race, and his fastest lap on that same lap, a 147.1. So Spinelli, a full half a second quicker even than Antonucci at the front of this field. But Antonucci's not been able to pull away from Jerome Moore, who remains close behind him. And Antonucci there, he's pushing the boundaries, running a little bit wide on the exit of turn eight. He's got to make sure he doesn't get a penalty for exceeding the track limits here.
Well, I was going to say, even if you just got handed a time penalty of 5 seconds for exceeding track limits, well, 5 seconds would move him back to fourth. So it's one of those deals where you've got to make sure that you're not exceeding it, like you were just saying, Jeremy, because the officials obviously are looking at it. I think a lot of times, there's a little contact there, I think, between Berkeley and Alan Metney into the heel of the boot. That time, I should say, turn eight, I think Luke Berkeley in the inside and just a little contact, and now a crossover. Metney going to try to block Berkeley and keep him from going to the inside. And we were talking about the officials with comments about track limits. I wonder if we're going to see or hear anything about blocking.
Yeah, it's good hard racing between those two. I can tell you what, they're having a blast. Alan Metney in particular, he's not afraid to take on these youngsters. He raced in the GT3 Cup Series in IMSA for the last several years. He won a race overall beat all the youngsters. So he has no qualms whatsoever about taking on the youngsters here, with Luke Berkeley going head to head with Alan Metney. But there's also battles all the way up and down this field. It's tremendous racing.
Body parts coming off of the number four, I believe. His contact there was that Wellum in the 82. I believe it was coming up through turn nine. Oh, what's a mirror on a Lamborghini cost?
Yeah, don't ask.
It's just how close the racing is, mirror to mirror, for Wellum and Collins as they came up and in. And the six, Jacob had a problem in the tire wall.
Yikes. He had just gone, it said his best lap of the race. He was trying to close in on that battle for the lead, and it's all gone wrong for Jacob Edson.
Well, I think what has happened is, if when we saw the car up close, I think the left rear tire is gone. I think the wheel is there. I think the tire failed going into the corner. We talk about taking care of tires here at Watkins Glen, and there's the mirror off the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo that we saw, and I can't even imagine what that cost. But look closely at the left rear. The tire is not there. The wheel is. And that is what has happened to Jacob Edson. We talk about taking care of the tire. Left rear tires, left side tires in general at Watkins Glen are always a challenge because of turns at the end of the straightaway, the climbing S's, turn one, the toe of the boot. It's a predominantly right-hand cornered racetrack. And you really need to go into the weekend, even in a short race like this, saying, we've got to take care of the tires. We have to take care of the tires. How do you do that? Well, you can do it with setup, and you can do it with driving. You can do it by staying off of curbs. You can try to sacrifice setup a little bit for the longevity. It's a challenge either way, because as a race car driver, you never want to give anything up. The yellow flag waves there. I don't think we're going to see a full course caution.
No.
But the 16 now, just a half a second off the rear wing of Richard Antonucci.
Yeah, so the drivers have been warned of the incident there. There's no full course caution. We're coming down towards the end of this race. It will be white flag this time past, I believe, for our race leader, Richard Antonucci. And Jerome Moore He's dropped back just a little bit on this lap, and the drivers are going to be careful there that they don't go too fast through that incident zone. The white flag waves now. Just look at the lap time for Richard Antonucci. 147.3. That was a really quick lap. Those leaders lifted off not one iota through that incident scene.
And that's not what the officials want to see. And from a race car driver, what a challenge. You come into an area where you know that technically, with the waving yellow flag, you are required to slow your speed. But how much do you slow? Because if the driver behind you doesn't, then he's right there on you. And that's what you were just talking about, Jeremy, is you watch the cars come in there and you wonder if Mole might be saying, hey, the car in front is, hey, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and he's not. But very challenging, very difficult circumstances. And about 0.7 of a second the last time by the line, Richard Antonucci looking for his fourth win of the season. He's only missing one, and that was the second round at COTA in the first weekend for Lamborghini Super Trofeo action. Had a penalty on pit lane that set him back. Otherwise, he may be having a perfect scorecard on the season. He's not there yet. Still has three corners to go after this one, but now out of turn eight, the left-hander at the top of the hill, back onto what's known as the old course, and a Richard Antonucci looking to make it four.
Just a couple of corners to go now for Antonucci, and this is his 56th start. He already has a most overall wins at 17, just a few yards away now for number 18, Brian.
Checker flag, Richard Antonucci, dream racing, another dream come true, and perhaps a nightmare for those chasing him in the championship as Antonucci takes his fourth win on the season. Good run for McAleer and Mole right there in second. As you watch the rest of the field stream onto the front straightaway, winners in four different classes. Disappointment for sure for Stephen Agacani and Jacob Edson. Just a couple of laps from the end of the race, Richard Antonucci takes the victory in pro. Brandon Godovic will celebrate another victory there in the Pro-Am category along with his teammate Brian Ortiz. Ortiz, what a great job he had done throughout the opening stint. Moving back to Am, Giano Torino, we talked about what a great job that team had done in both cars, with both cars, and he will take the victory in the Am category. And then all we're waiting for is LB Cup. And I'll tell you one thing, Jeremy, in LB Cup, really to me, the surprise of the season, the 47 right there taking the checker flag, Mark Kwame, Terry Olson, they have been on a tear, three in a row, the hat trick for the 47 Precision Performance Motorsports Lamborghini Palm Beach entry. And Kwame and Terry Olson, I don't know if they own Lamborghinis at home, but they're going to want to get one after the tear they've been on these last several races. And Richard Antonucci congratulating his teammate there in the 22. Capitano, the third place finish for Capitano in the AM category, or the Pro-AM category, I should say. But for Richard Antonucci, Jeremy, wow.
Yeah, very impressive again for Antonucci. Took the lead at the start and controlled the race from there, but he was never able to relax, was he? First of all, it was pushed by Alec Udell, the second half of the race by Jerome Mull, another very experienced Lamborghini campaigner. So it's Antonucci who will come ahead with the win number four in the season. That, by my reckoning, will extend his championship lead now to 18 points over Stephen McAleer, who shared that second place car with Jerome Mull. So 70 points to 52 then in the overall Pro Drivers Championship there. And as you said, Brandon Godovic, a super job in the fourth position. Gianni Carino there winning AM class right behind those two cars, nose to tail across the start-finish line in fourth and position, fifth and positions overall. As you say, another win for Mark Kwame there and Terry Olsen. They beat Justin Price by just a half a second, though, in second place in LB Cup. So some super battles. That was a really entertaining race. It was a shame for that incident earlier on. Hats off to the race officials for not going full caution at the end there with Edson's car in the wall, making sure the drivers knew there was an incident in turn eight. They were carrying a bit too much speed for my liking, but they were it was still a tremendous race and another victory for Richard Antonucci and for Dream Racing Motorsport.
Well, we talk about the experience of Richard Antonucci. He's not the fastest car on the racetrack. We saw that. Laura Spinelli had a faster lap. But I think that experience brings confidence. And where that confidence really shows to me, Jeremy, starts and restarts. He's willing to push hard from the beginning on cold Pirelli tires because he knows what he has. He's been there. He's done that with all the testing, all the development. And it's one of those things that really helps him in those positions.
Yeah, you know, and experience is so important in this sport. But as far as the championship concerned, three of the class leaders winning their championships, winning their classes today. Richard Antonucci, Brandon Godovic, and Brian Ortiz in Pro-Am, and Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen in the Lamborghini Cup. In the Am contest, it was Gianni Torino who took the victory over Brandon Godovic. Alan Metney, who was in second place in that class, and that will make things, I think, tied together between that pair. Actually, Gianni Torino, having got the pole position, he'd be one ahead of Alan Metney heading into tomorrow's sixth round of the championship.
Well, and that's what we were talking about. These championships really beginning to tighten up. We've seen a little ebb and flow. We've seen some good luck for some drivers, some well-earned finishes for many drivers, and some bad luck bite other people. Stephen Agacani, Jacob Edson, perfect examples of that, as was the 51 when they had their problems early on. So it's one of those things that anything and everything can and does seem to happen in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. That's why it's such a great series to watch. Round one of the Watkins Glen weekend is done, but we still have another round coming up tomorrow, and that is what is going to be spectacular. This is the halfway point in the 2021 season for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America, and the championship still a long way from being decided. What iconic cars the Raging Bulls on one of the most challenging racetracks that you'll ever find in North America. So much history here and so much competition. You got to be a part of it today, and you could be a part of it again tomorrow as the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Series comes back to Watkins Glen. The checkers are out for today, but more to come on the weekend. Great stuff. For Jeremy Shaw, I'm Brian Till. We'll see you next time for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.